Hallelujah, Jesus. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, this evening, Lord God. We thank you for this, for your wonderful Holy Spirit, Lord, who just sweeps through, Lord God, and just touches each one of us, Lord, and ministers to us, Lord. We just thank you that you've got such a heart as this to minister to us, Lord God. Lord, we just pray, Lord God, that as we speak your word this evening, Lord God, that it will just refresh each of us, Lord God. Lord, we just pray that you will just minister to us continually, Lord, as this evening progresses. Lord, we just pray that as we leave this place, we will not be the same as we walked in, Lord. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, again, it's a lovely, wonderful privilege to be able to share the word with you this evening. And I pray that the Lord will just speak to you through his word, and as he spoke through me, I had the privilege of preparing tonight's message. My heart is to really encourage each of us to grasp hold of opportunities. And tonight, that's really what it's about. It's about opportunities as they come by, just grabbing hold of them. And in particular, opportunities that God brings our way, that we are awake to them and that we grab hold of those things. Pastor Patricia this morning spoke about resilience. And actually, I very much enjoyed what she had to say about that. And the Lord, I felt the Lord just touching myself and others about that. But wonderful thing about opportunity is that it really ties in with resilience as well. And I'll describe how opportunity does do that. And in particular, I felt that resilience is really, to be resilient, you need to have a strong character, a good character, to be steadfast in the things of your values, of the things of God. Have patience and strength. And those things, a resilient person, you'll find, will have a lot of all those qualities about them. And these also are qualities that are required to recognize opportunities that God brings your way, to grab hold of those things and to make the most of them. You need those things. So resilience is really a way to take hold of the opportunities that God brings your way. And opportunities themselves, they can bring their own set of difficulties, can't they? Because opportunities call on us to go beyond what is comfortable and what is familiar and embark into something that is unknown. And if we don't know what it is to be resilient with what is familiar, then we will be lacking with what it takes to make the most of opportunities, because opportunities will test us. They will test us as we embark on opportunities. Those changes that take place will begin to test us and stretch us. You know, for most of us, opportunities can be quite a daunting thing. We often tell ourselves that we cannot do what the opportunity requires us to do. And in fact, we end up at times putting in all this negative self-talk, which might cause us to just let opportunities slip by. Opportunities that God has placed our way, we may let them slip by because we've talked ourselves out of undertaking those. So we need to be careful that we don't do that. So, however, opportunities, if we take them on, will stretch us and will be a way for our character to grow and become closer to what God wants us to be. Opportunities will inevitably bring reward, and it's the rewards that make the temporary discomfort of embarking on those opportunities worthwhile. You know, and quite often the Holy Spirit will give us opportunity to share about Jesus. This can happen from any number of ways, but the fact remains that it is opportunity, that it is an opportunity, and we can choose to be obedient and grab hold of those opportunities that the Holy Spirit presents to us, or we can become fearful and of what others might think of us and choose to let those opportunities pass. And look, over time, I've done that from time to time too. I've come under fear, and have let opportunities of witnessing just drop by because of my own, I guess, self-consciousness. And so we need to be careful that we don't let that happen. That the Holy Spirit brings people to us to share the word, and we need to be open to that, and if we are fearful of that, to begin to pray and to ask the Lord just to calm us and to give us the words to say. And the Holy Spirit, He's there to help us and to give us the words. And quite often, we're astounded, aren't we, of some of the words that that might come from our mouth that we don't quite understand where they came from, but they were exactly the type of words that people needed to hear at the time. And also, too, sometimes opportunities present themselves at church and at work and at school, at sport and in other areas of interest to us. We might be asked to take on areas of responsibility such as leadership or administration. So we have to be mindful of that, too, there's always a need for leaders to rise up and for people to take on responsibilities. And perhaps the oversight or perhaps a departmental leader might see a certain quality in us and might want to approach us to see whether or not we're willing to take on an opportunity that will help grow us but also meet a need that exists within the church. So we need to be open to that. And these are great opportunities for us to grow. After all, we're Grow Church, aren't we? So we're always looking for opportunities to grow, to grow our character and to become more like Jesus. You know, if you are recognized as possessing leadership qualities, then you know, don't be flattered and don't laugh it off. Accept this as a wonderful opportunity to serve God in an awesome and wonderful way. You know, take measures to sharpen your leadership skills and to be open to take on leadership opportunities that may eventually be presented. Now, I've just really spoken about really good opportunities, like opportunities that perhaps the Lord has brought our way. But we also have to be careful because sometimes the world and perhaps even the devil could bring opportunities that might look good to the eye, that might flatter us, but might actually take us away from the things of God. So we've got to be careful about those sorts of opportunities as well. So opportunities that seem good may not be right for us to take up, or we may need to wait before accepting them. Such opportunities are the ones which would pull us away from God and stop us from fulfilling our purpose that He has for us. These opportunities are quite often such things as work promotions or job changes that take us away from God or are too demanding on our time, so much so that our relationships often may get stressed or perhaps even break down. So we need to be careful about those sorts of opportunities and we need to be wise. Saying no to opportunities for the right reasons is wisdom. But saying yes to opportunities for the wrong reasons is, of course, foolishness and can cause us and our families a lot of trouble, a lot of grief. So that's just the introduction. So we're going to go into... I want to go into an example or a testimony this evening about a king in Israel who God took great delight in and it actually acknowledged as being a good king. But you see, this king had what I would call a duh moment. Has anyone heard that term, duh? And I mean that in the sense that an opportunity has come his way to make a real impact on the world and he missed it. He missed it. It's like, duh, if I had my time again, I would grasp hold of that opportunity. But unfortunately, this king missed it. And I'm sure all of us here, at one stage or another, perhaps had one of those moments where we want to just bump ourselves in the head and just want to have that time again so we can grab hold of an opportunity that we let slip by. So this king that I'm talking about is King Hezekiah. And as I said before, he was considered to be amongst the best kings of Israel. In fact, the word describes him as being a king who put his trust in God more than any other king before him or after him. So he had an amazing faith, a faith even greater than King David, as the word says there. So if you'd like, we can turn to 2 Kings, chapter 18, and we'll read from verses 3 to 8. And this just will give us a good overview of King Hezekiah, the kind of things that he done, kind of the great things that he did throughout his reign as king of Judah. So reading from verse 3. He did, that is King Hezekiah, what the Lord approved, just as his ancestor David had done. He eliminated the high places, smashed the sacred pillars to bits, and cut down the Asherah pole. He also demolished the bronze serpent that Moses had made, for up to that time the Israelites had been offering incense to it, and it was called Nehushtan. He trusted in the Lord God of Israel. In this regard, there was none like him among the kings of Judah, either before or after. He was loyal to the Lord and did not abandon him. He obeyed the commandments which the Lord had given to Moses. The Lord was with him. He succeeded in all his endeavors. He rebelled against the king of Assyria and refused to submit to him. He defeated the Philistines as far as Gaza and the territory, from the watchtower to the city fortress. Now, if there was ever a man who had resilience, this man was it. He stood firm against the king of Assyria. He did not fall down. He did not break. He did not surrender to him. And in fact, we will just read the story about what he actually did, which brought about that king's defeat, that king of Assyria. So as we can see, King Hezekiah was a godly man. And this passage explains that very clearly. Firstly, he did as his father David did. Secondly, he abolished idolatry, going as far as even smashing the bronze serpent Moses made because it was being worshipped. No other king had done that. And it said in the scripture there that it had been the Israelites had been burning incense to it right up until that time. So the good kings even before him didn't even go as far as breaking that statue. He trusted the Lord, or in other words, he exercised his faith in the Lord more than any other king or after him. So he had an enormous, he had a capacity for faith, but he utilized it. He succeeded in all his endeavors. And he stood firm against the enemy. And in this case, it was the Assyrians. But for us, when we stand firm against the enemy, who are we talking about? We're talking about Satan himself, the powers and principalities of darkness. Stand firm against them. So this guy, King Hezekiah, he was pretty much as perfect as you could get in terms of a king of Israel, of Judah, or Israel for that matter. He did everything as the Lord had commanded of him to do, and he didn't just speak things, he did them. He was a man of action. So let us look further into some of the things Hezekiah had done. In 2 Kings chapter 19, and we'll read that in a moment, it describes how King Hezekiah would plead before the Lord when threatened by the Assyrians, whom at that time had conquered all the nations before them. Was King Hezekiah concerned, perhaps even fearful of invasion? I think so. I think Hezekiah was very fearful of invasion. Otherwise, why would he plead? He just witnessed the Assyrians conquer the northern kingdom of Israel and take many of its inhabitants to foreign lands. So we will now, we'll turn to 2 Kings chapter 19, verses 14 to 19. And you'll see his reaction on receiving a threatening message from the Assyrian king. So here the king had sent a threat to King Hezekiah. This is the king of Assyria sending a threat to King Hezekiah, saying that if you do not surrender, then we are going to do some terrible things to you and to your kingdom. So what we're about to read is King Hezekiah's reaction to that letter. And in verse 14 it says, Hezekiah received the letter from the hand of the messengers and read it. Then Hezekiah went up to the house of Yahweh, or the Lord, and spread it before him. So that's the first thing he did. He went straight to God. Hezekiah prayed before Yahweh, and said, Yahweh, the God of Israel, who sits above the cherubim, you are the God, even you alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth. You have made heaven and earth. Incline your ear, Yahweh, and hear. Open your eyes, Yahweh, and see. Hear the words of Sennacherib, who is the king of Assyria, with which he has sent to defy the living God. Truly, Yahweh, the kings of Assyria have laid waste the nations and their lands, and have cast their gods into the fire, for they were no gods, but the works of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore, they have destroyed them. Now, therefore, Yahweh, our God, save us, I beg you, out of his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you, Yahweh, are God alone. And that verse 19 is the key to the opportunity that came his way. And in verse 19, if you notice the words, I beg you, I can just imagine the conviction in his heart to really plead for the Lord's mercy, to deliver them, to deliver him and his nation from the hands of the Assyrians. He would have been, I can imagine, he would have been tearing, he would have been on his face pleading to the Lord to save them. So he didn't just take it before God, he showed his vulnerability and humbly he pleaded and begged. You know, this is quite an important fact or an important quality of King Hezekiah, to go straight to God and plead with him. He could have sought the help of another powerful kingdom, such as Egypt, which is what perhaps the logical earthly thing would have been to do, is to go to another superpower and try and make an alliance. Or he could have just thrown his hands in the air and surrendered, hoping that the Assyrians will be merciful, but knowing that they probably would not be. Or he could have put his faith in his own kingdom's ability to stand against the Assyrians, which would have probably have been fatal. But instead, being resilient, he places his faith and his trust in God. So how did God respond? Well, the only way God can, completely and without reservation. After promising King Hezekiah through the prophet Isaiah that he would win the victory for Judah, God does an amazing thing. And if we have a look at again, 2 Corinthians, this time in chapter 19, verse 35, this really brings home exactly what God did to deliver King Hezekiah. It happened that night that the angel of Yahweh went out, one angel, and struck down 185,000 in the camp of the Assyrians. When men arose early in the morning, behold, there were dead bodies. So that's how God answered. He delivered King Hezekiah's kingdom from the hand of the Assyrians that one night with one angel. The bottom line is that God did not only reward King Hezekiah's faith and trust in him with a wonderful victory, he also put in motion the opportunity for Israel, through Hezekiah's testimony, to finally fulfill its destiny as the light God would use to bring the world into a complete knowledge of him and his awesomeness, and in a sense fulfilling that verse 19. Or granting that verse 19 plead that King Hezekiah made. He already did the first one. He saved them. And the second part of that verse 19 was that all may know that Yahweh is God alone. And this is where the opportunity comes as I read on. Now, the news of the destruction of the Assyrian army would have kept the region buzzing. Can you imagine when one army of 185,000 suddenly is struck down in the dead of night by a single angel? There would be talk in whispers because there were survivors. As it says in that verse, that as men rose the next morning, all they saw were dead bodies. So there were some there that survived, and they would have gone back and, and told of what had happened. There would have been rumors concerning it of what had happened, since some of the but I guess since there were no news crews as there are today, or cameras on the heads of missiles as you see today, there is no first-hand pictorial account of what had happened to the Assyrians, but only the stories of those who survived. The angel did slay the Assyrian army during the night, so it was quite possible that none, or at best only a few of the Assyrians present at the camp, actually saw what had happened and lived to spread the story. And of course, once an army loses 185,000 soldiers to the hand of a single angel, especially, the Assyrians were left undermanned and unable to defend their vast empire, of course. And shortly after that encounter with the angel, the Assyrian empire did fall and the Babylonians rose up. And so now the rise of the Babylonians is where Judah finally had the opportunity to present to the world God's sovereignty over the nations and indeed the world. Here comes the opportunity. And we'll have a look at 2 Kings chapter 20, verses 12 to 19. Now, can you imagine an opportunity like this that we're about to read about? If Hezekiah did take it, imagine the change it would have made to history, to ancient history, should he have done as he should have. In verse 12 it says, "At that time, Merodach Baladan, son of Baladan, king of Babylon, sent letters and a gift to Hezekiah, for he had heard that Hezekiah was ill. Hezekiah welcomed them and showed them his whole storehouse with its silver, gold, spices, and high-quality olive oil, as well as his armory and everything in his treasuries. Hezekiah showed them everything in his palace and in his whole kingdom. Isaiah the prophet visited King Hezekiah and asked him, 'What did these men say? Where did they come from?' Hezekiah replied, 'They come from a distant land of Babylon.' Isaiah asked, 'What have they seen in your palace?' Hezekiah replied, 'They have seen everything in my palace. I showed them everything in my treasuries.' Isaiah said to Hezekiah, 'Listen to the word of the Lord. Look, a time is coming when everything in your palace and the things your ancestors have accumulated to this day will be carried away to Babylon. Nothing will be left, says the Lord. Some of your very own descendants, whom the father will be taken away and will be made eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon.' Hezekiah said to Isaiah, 'The Lord's words which you have announced is appropriate.' Then he added, 'At least there will be peace and stability during my lifetime.'" This is a really extraordinary passage and really blows me away, actually, verse 19, as to what Hezekiah's response was too. See, King Hezekiah was presented with a messenger of Babylon. It's the king's son who was concerned for his health. But not only that, the messenger came bearing gifts. And this, in fact, was quite a rare thing for a representative of a king, of a great expanding empire to do. Usually it works the other way around. If anyone's going to give gifts, it's the smaller empire giving it to the bigger empire. But in this instance, it's the large empire giving gifts to the small. And there's a reason for that. See, there was something special about King Hezekiah. And I think this prince wanted to know what it was, wanted to know more. It actually presented as a perfect opportunity for King Hezekiah to witness the power and majesty of the Lord. You see, I think this is an opportunity that God had presented for King Hezekiah to give testimony of the wonderful victories that he gave him when the Assyrians had invaded. He could have shared his testimony of how he humbled himself, this is King Hezekiah, before the Lord and pleaded to him to deliver Judah from the Assyrians. And most importantly, how the Lord listened and answered his prayer in such a dramatic and a miraculous way. A miracle that cannot be refuted, because the Babylonians would have been aware of the mysterious defeat of the Assyrians while it laid Jerusalem under siege. If Hezekiah had taken this opportunity to share with the messenger of Babylon of the awesome power of God, then history could have played out somewhat differently. Imagine the Babylonians, the most powerful nation for several hundred years, coming to know God as Judah had. To have our Lord ascend as the only God worshipped throughout the Babylonian Empire. To have every person learn the Torah, which was the Bible at that stage, the Word of God, and practice its statutes and laws. What a different world it would have been. It could have been brought about by Hezekiah's testimony of the power of God and the fulfilling of what he pleaded to God in his prayer to him to save them from the hands of the Assyrians, that his word, that knowledge of the power, the greatness and power of God would be spread throughout the world. Well, this was the opportunity for that to happen back then. Of course, too, it's important to add that in the end, that still happened anyway through Jesus. Amen. That through him, his knowledge of the greatness and the power of God is spread throughout the world. But it could have also happened. Here was an opportunity for it to happen here. Unfortunately, King Hezekiah missed it. So what did King Hezekiah do instead? Instead, he just boasted of his own wealth, of his own armory, his own prestige, his own palaces. He boasted of his own things. And of course, that too contributed to his downfall. In the end, or the downfall of Judah, as the Babylonians, in seeking wealth as well, saw or knew of the great wealth of Judah at that time. But going back to verse 19, where he says, "At least there will be peace and stability during my lifetime," I found this to be an astonishing comment that he made. Because such a missed opportunity may not necessarily affect us in a negative way. Sometimes we can miss the opportunity and say, well, you know, God will bring another one. But it can affect generations. A missed opportunity to witness to someone can affect a whole line of generations and their salvation. So it's important to realize how opportunities are so precious, and that we need to really grab hold of them and take them, because in missing out of them can actually cause great grief and can cause generations to miss out on a wonderful blessing, as it did for Judah. Because soon after King Hezekiah, two or three kings later, Judah fell and was overrun by the Babylonians. So Hezekiah, unfortunately, he just didn't get it. He didn't understand God's purpose beyond himself and his nation. God had chosen Israel to shine his light across the whole world and had put in place a mechanism to do it. Hezekiah didn't see that God's appointed time was now, that deciding to share the power of God now would bring peace to the earth that could have lasted for generations. And unfortunately, he missed it. But having said all that, I don't want to harsh on poor old King Hezekiah too much, because quite often all of us do miss on opportunities, and I'm sure that he genuinely probably just did not think it. The Bible doesn't go into much detail as to his thought process, but to give him the benefit of the doubt, he probably just genuinely just did not conceive it, which was a shame. But God did choose to honour King Hezekiah, as we saw in the first passage of Scripture that we read, for his faithfulness, trust and obedience. He was one of those rare kings that pleased God. King Hezekiah also was resilient, standing firm on the promise of God when the might of the Assyrian army stood at his doorstep. And I believe that's how God would want us to look upon King Hezekiah, as that kind of God who just put his, sorry, that kind of king that put his trust in him. So, but just for us, a caution for us as we move forward, that even though we may be humble and approach God in prayer and worship, and even if we put our trust in God, we must not lose sight of the greater purpose, the greater vision that God has, and what God wants to accomplish through us. You know, first of all, we are commissioned to minister to the lost and work towards bringing them to Christ. We are commissioned. Christ commissioned us to do this thing. This is the most important thing that we've been placed on this earth to do, to share the gospel and to share God's love, and to allow the Holy Spirit to use us to bring others to Jesus and to accept him as their Lord and Savior. But second of all, I encourage you to take on opportunities that are going to cause your character to grow and to draw you closer to God, and be cautious also too, to be cautious about accepting opportunities that will do the opposite. Opportunities will come that will seem really nice, that will be very attractive, but we just got to be careful, because sometimes those things can actually bring our downfall. We need to be wise, and if we're unsure about making a decision, we need to seek God for the answer. Remember, we are responsible for our own character growth. God will water us through the Holy Spirit, but we have to make the choice to grow. Just like we have to make the choice to love. Hezekiah had a choice to make: to boast about the greatness of God or the greatness of himself and his kingdom. A choice that had ramifications for centuries to come. So as I leave it there, I'd like to invite anyone who would like prayer this evening to come forward as we sing this song in closing. If there are opportunities or decisions that need to be made, that you feel that you're just not sure about, that you just want to seek God about, then now's a great opportunity to come forward, and we'll pray together and really seek God to give you the right answer for those things. And if you'd like to come forward for prayer for a need of any kind, please feel free to come forward, and we'll pray with you. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you this evening, Lord God. We thank you for your word. And Lord God, we just thank you that you give each of us, every one of us, opportunities, Lord God. Each and every day, Lord, we have an opportunity to share your word with someone who really, really needs to hear it, Lord. And Lord, we just pray, Lord God, that as you have patience with us, as you persevere with us, that we will continually, as we move forward, Lord God, be more mindful, be more sensitive to the leading of your Holy Spirit, so that we will see those opportunities as they come forward, Lord God, and grasp hold of them, Lord God, and share your word, share Jesus with those around us, Lord. We just thank you, Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.